and children.
I'm just not ready.
I can't wait for you anymore.
I don't want to lose you.
I don't either.
Three reasons why I shouldn't buy you a drink.
I'm sorry I'm late. You look beautiful. Why are you still standing here? Walk away. Walk away. I looked over and you looked like you needed a little help.
Same bite like a diamond.
No man in your life?
Not anymore.
Same bite like a diamond.
It shouldn't be so hard.
You're right.
It's simple. Shine bright tonight. Nice to meet you.
Aww. Does he have a brother? Beautiful like diamonds
in the sky. Do you want to come with me to my parents for the 4th?
I have these 2 front row tickets to the Giants game, and I was wondering if you'd go with me. Shine bright like a diamond. Beautiful like
diamonds in the sky. Would you mind if I take a picture of this car?
Maybe ask my boyfriend when he gets out. It was like a switch went off.
Shine bright like a diamond. Shine bright like... Shine bright tonight in your eyes. Cody, you're beautiful like diamonds in the sky.
Oh, goodness.
Shine bright. People. Oh, that's all I know is about you. Your crazy ass.
My creepy ass.
Creepy that came out of nowhere. That shit straight up pulled a Tyler Perry Temptation and turned
over. That's exactly what this was.
Oh, people, welcome to the only review of this movie.
I know, right?
The only movie review to The Perfect Guy.
That's right, we're the first.
We're the only ones.
Only fitting.
Oh my god. And you know, I found out that this movie was only released in like, I want to say either 1200 or 2000 theaters.
Okay.
I think it was 1200. So, and they didn't have screens for this. And then what was the first thing we saw when we sat down? That beautiful Sony logo. And I was like, I'll be goddamn. There's two type of movies that Sony make. Crappy ass black films or Adam Sandler films. So, and then every now and then they'll have a hit in there and whatever, somehow, some just hidden gem or you don't even know about and shit. But Screen Gems, man. If Columbia is Adam Sandler's bitch, then Screen Gems is the black genre bitch. Because Screen Gems, my god, man, y'all will take any straight to BET looking piece of shit that I have seen, but.
Exactly.
But you don't know, people. This movie, maybe it's not a piece of shit. Maybe it's golden.
Maybe it is.
Maybe, Cody. I'm just saying, I think the people want to know about your movie, Cody. They've been expecting this from you for quite some time. It's your breakout role. This is your breakout role from teaming up with Kevin Hart. You know, finally got away from that little short motherfucker.
Yes, I did.
So let's see if you did any better on your own. Let's see if you got the, if you a star. Let's see if you can back away from your pockets ain't empty no more, cuz. People's like, where'd that come from? It's like, people forget that nigga was in that movie, huh? That's the worst one of them. I'm sorry, all them clips we saw, whatever. That shit is terrible. I ain't even watched the whole fucking movie yet. That movie's fucking terrible. So, and by the way, Sony, I'm coming after you. I'm suing your ass like a motherfucker.
Oh, yeah, I know. Five parallels there.
So suing your ass like a motherfucker. So, coming for you. It's a lot of pair. And I was joking on last week's episode about Morris Chestnut. He's like, I could be Morris Chestnut. That'd be me. As soon as this nigga on screen, they give him a background story with this chick, Sanaa Lathan. And the next time I'm looking at that like, huh. Little similar parallels there on a certain relationship P1 had or whatever.
All right.
I was like, you thieving motherfuckers, y'all.
Your life story.
Wouldn't that be fitting, though, that Sony would get that, huh, Cody?
Mm-hmm. Mm. All studios.
Yeah, thieving motherfuckers or whatever. Alrighty then, well, that's next time I share my business next time at certain studios. I'm like, thieving motherfuckers. I tell you, shit, I want my check now, shit. I want my royalty check. How come they didn't put me in there instead of Morris Chestnut?
Seriously.
Did this? Morris Chestnut didn't do this shit but get shushed and dying.
Yep.
Okay, so people... So we got, what the fuck with these characters' name? I don't even remember their name. The only person I remember was Oh, yeah, it was Carter, Dave, and Leia. Give a black man named Dave. Okay. So Morris Chestnut plays Dave, Carter is Michael Ealy, and Sanaa Lathan is Leia. And we got Leia and Morris Chestnut, Dave. They got a beautiful home. I love it because all the neighbors and the across-the-street neighbor, that nosy bitch, they got, like, some crappy-looking homes and shit. But meanwhile, there's this one beautiful home just in the middle of that. I don't know what they do for a living, but apparently they must be rich.
Yep.
They go to this little party, and next you know it, Morris Chestnut playing with a little white boy. A little white precious boy, a little precious little demon or something like that, you know? And then Sanaa Lathan, she just gets this look on her face of disdain. Like, it just ruins the whole night, like, seriously. Like,
yeah.
I wish she wouldn't even touch that kid. Like, it's like, damn, if I touch the kid, she's going to be looking at me like, why can't I have kids or whatever? Because basically, they split up because after 2 years of relationships, Sanaa Lathan realized that at the age of 36, I want a family. I'm looking for marriage. I'm looking for a long-lasting relationship, which it seems like she was already having with this guy because they've been going on for 2 years and there's been no problem. So I don't see what the problem was. Women tend to complicate these kind of things. They really do. They tend to complicate these things a little too much. Whatever. It's like, he's a good guy. He works, comes home, treats you right. I understand you want a kid and a longer relationship, but it looks like you're already in a long relationship with him. So it's like, how about you just wait till he's ready to make that move? I don't see why you would force that on.
Yep.
And already you on Morris Chestnut side, so it's just like, yeah, just leave that bitch. Until she puts on that gray dress in the next scene, you just like, oh, Morris, you better go grab that shit back, man. God, did she get hotter, Cody, after all these years?
She got hotter throughout the film, man, throughout the course of the film.
Man, and I'm in life, too, though. Shit, dude.
Yeah, she has aged well.
I don't remember her looking that good in Alien vs. Predator.
No, well, it's probably because it's bullshit.
Yeah, I can't even remember that. I don't remember her looking that good in what was that last movie I saw her in 2 years ago? I forgot the name. It was one of the other black bullshit ass movies, whatever. But I mean, damn, this girl got fine, and that body is tight.
Yep.
She's the type that Wayne would call fat.
Yep.
Because that scene where she had that gray dress on, that camera lingered on that shot. I was like, damn, that girl looks good. Yeah. Oh, hell yeah. Oh, definitely. Oh, I see why Michael Ealy had that look in his eye. He had the look. It would have been funny if the twist would have been she's the crazy one instead of him.
Yeah, Michael Ealy. Awesome.
She's the one hiding under beds and shit like that. So her and Morris Chestnut split. I think it was, 2 months or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
2 months passed by. And then next, you know, she run into... Well, first she run into Michael Ealy buying her... giving her his coffee because she didn't want to wait in line. And then once she split with Morris Chestnut, she runs into him again at this bar. Michael Ealy plays Carter here. And pretty much this guy is like... In the most insane way of hitting on someone, which is not fucking believable at all. I've seen some drunk guys do some crazy shit before, but this guy was sober as shit, and he's just like, let me buy you a drink or something like that. It's just like, I was like, all right, dude, man, you way over the fucking top. It's so lame that it's even corny. It looked like it was just force-fed down your throat or something like that. And the fact that he would think he didn't even have a chance with that, it's like, come on now, look, you balding and shit. Look at your hairline, dude. Come on, man. It's just Sanaa Lathan, fine ass. And she should have served the first look of concern on him when that motherfucker Michael Ealy just pops and says, walk away. Walk away. Because you know when someone has to repeat something twice in a row, that motherfucker's crazy.
Yeah, probably. Most likely.
Just like Will Smith. Tell the truth. Tell the truth.
We gotta talk about the trailer lines.
Oh, hey, but Cody, don't you forget.
Okay, people. If we go to look, one dude in the audience, man, he clapped at every single famous black person. For no fucking reason. He clapped for like, what was like, 2 minutes straight?
He gave a standing ovation. Was he didn't even look black, though, was he?
Yeah.
It's an old white dude. Yes.
The bad part about it is that the
They were laughing at him. Matter of fact, they were laughing at some of the scenes and shit. They didn't get into sassy black mode until the third act when the knife and shit got involved. And it's like, there you go, girl. And that's the only time. But other than that, they were laughing halfway through the fucking film. And probably it smelled like piss in this fucking theater, too.
Oh, God, that's so terrible.
Come on, man. I love it because dude comes out. We hope you enjoy our Arclight screen. It's like, I don't have the Arclight experience because I never smelled piss on an Arclight before. I think the only thing that distilled it away from my nose was the alcohol. But yeah. And we were the only motherfuckers with alcohol. But, so they I think they're going through the course of time. They go on dates. They get to hang out a little bit. She takes him to meet his family. Everything's cool. Then all of a sudden, when they're leaving her family's house, they're at a gas station. Michael Lee's paying at the front, and this guy just comes out. He's not even hitting on her. He's hitting on the car. He's like, I'm gonna fuck this car. He's like, is that gas tank open right now? Which I don't blame him. It's a badass SS. I believe it was a Chevelle, if I'm not mistaken. It was a badass ride, though. And Michael Lee always has that motherfucker, though. I noticed that in his movie. Didn't he have that in the bout last night?
I think he did.
I think that must be his own fucking car. Must be singing Shine Bright. But so Michael Lee just flips and just throws this guy and punches him about 3 times, and this Annihilator comes out crying, Carter, what are you doing? In her little high heels and shit like that or whatever. How come nobody's bitching about this movie? How can she run in high heels?
Exactly.
She done ran through this whole movie in high heels.
Man,
she didn't have nothing on in this movie but high heels or whatever and shit, and she falling downstairs and all kind of shit, you know what I'm saying? So, I think they both got a little over dramatic in here or whatever. I mean, she's over here crying and shit like this or whatever. It's just like, yeah, what he did was kind of fucked up, but I don't know. He could have just snapped at that one time period or whatever and stuff, you know, and the way she was reacting was like, would you hurt me? It's just like, you've been with this guy for how long now? And just because he hit some stranger that he probably thought could have been just either mugging you or something like that. I don't know. It's late night. He looks like a grease monkey. I mean, look, dude just rolls up on you or something like that. I mean, you like a friend said, give him the benefit of the doubt at least and shit. But nah, she had to do something that pushed the Cody to the extreme. And Cody, the Cody's told Amethyst Chaos. He told that little girl he will not be denied. And Amethyst tried to deny him by telling him the next night at dinner, which he's cool about or whatever. But it was funny because they tried to show that Michael Lee is crazy by just having him flick his finger and shit.
Yeah.
I was like, you gotta be shitting me. Come on. They had this dinner at this restaurant that's the only one in L.A.
The only nice restaurant in L.A.
I love because this trailer is shot in New York, man. This trailer has New York tendency. And I remember looking at you, it was just like, wait a minute, I thought this, because we made a joke about Christine and you when we did the trail talk, that they had some New York buildings in there, whatever shit. And this shit was shot in L.A. all the way through. And the only building in here, her first thing is just like, I think we need to split up and go our separate ways. I'm like, seriously? And she's crying at dinner and shit like that. I'm just like, okay, you need to tone it down just a little bit or whatever and shit. I mean, maybe if you just say, let's take it slow now. Stop. Let's take a step back or something like that. But no, she dumps this dude who's got crazy. She believes he's got traits just because he hit on some dude. And this dude, they got to do another tendency where he just slam table. Leah, don't leave me. Don't go nowhere. You would think, in her mind, the first thing she would have did if she thought he was crazy, she would have took her spare key.
Right.
And moved it somewhere else, right?
Exactly.
But no, the bitch is dumb, so. And plus, Sony has to find a way to keep this plot interesting and keep going.
Yes.
So, next, you know, after that dinner scene, she's talking back with Morris Chestnut. I love it because this is why I find this to be bullshit. I'm going to dump Morris Chestnut because he doesn't want a commitment of a marriage and kids. But, like, 2 months later, I'm just going to hook up with a random guy, and I don't even know what his intentions are, but he's my new boyfriend now.
Right.
You catch what I'm getting with this, Cody? Like,
yeah.
So you dumped a good guy because he wouldn't give you a kid and marriage. Well, he didn't say he wasn't going to give you marriage. He said he was going to do it when he felt it was right. But it's because he didn't want to have kids at the time, whatever, stuff. And he had a good reason, too. He's just like, look, all my family members had marriages and kids, and they all ended up divorced, and I don't want to lose you and stuff. I was just like, that's a pretty good explanation, if you ask me. She dumps this guy to hook up with a new guy where she doesn't even ask him if he wants kids in the family or anything like that. So she's a whore. Okay? Sorry to say that, but that's a whore tendency. Back me up here, Cody.
Yeah, I mean, how fucked up is that, dude? Come on now.
You leave a good guy.
Yeah.
Because at that moment, he told you he didn't want any kids or get married at the time, whatever. And you hook up with another random-ass guy, and you don't even know his future intent, if you will, of what he wants in either a family or kids or anything like that. And then you got the audacity to tell your friends, I think he's the one or whatever. It's like,
what kind of shit is that?
That was some insulting shit, though. I was like, and the reason why I was insulted is because the very fucking next scene, Dave, Mike Morris Chestnut calls her, never once Morris Chestnut was an asshole in his whole movie or whatever.
Exactly. Not once.
I thought he was a great fucking guy or whatever. Yeah. And then she's talking about, I did think about what you, bet you a goddamn lie. You didn't think about shit this dude was saying. He was with Michael Ealy talking about, I've been swept off my feet. I've never been touched like this before. It's just like, oh, get the fuck out of here. There never once was a rambling in this movie that Morris Chestnut was neglecting her or was working too much, whatever. It seemed like they had a pretty good relationship other than the fact that she wanted a kid or something like that.
Right.
I thought that was just insulting to women, and I thought it was just insulting to relationships, period, and shit like that. I don't know.
I agree.
I was insulted by that. I don't know why. Because I was thinking about that through the whole movie. I was just like, so you dump a good guy and then got the audacity to date this dude who you didn't even ask him if he wants a marriage and kids and shit like that, and you already telling your family and shit like that, like, he is the one, he's a perfect. And then she's talking, and then even the family said, you never even brought Dave around here.
Right.
What kind of shit is that, Cody?
Yes.
She dated this dude for 2 years. She dated Michael Ealy, and they don't even say how long. I guess a month or something like that, I guess. A month or whatever, and she brought him around the family. I mean, she said that on the third date, I think. What a bitch, dude. Fuck this chick, dude. She should have got stabbed in. I'm sorry. I'm like Michael Ealy now. I ain't gonna lie. I understand your... And you know what? I don't blame Michael Ealy in this film. He was a good guy, too. She corrupted him. He was a good guy. At the parents' house, the parents made them sleep in separate rooms. He was down for that. I thought he was going to be the one to sneak in. She snuck into his room. And he was just like, now take your whore ass back into that room over there. This is not going down like that. And I was like, what a good guy that is. That sounds like something Cody would say. That sounds like Cody. Shoot. And then, you know what? She told him, we're going to have to break this off. It's her fault, Cody. It's her fault. It's her fault that he had to turn into the Cody. So, over the time. Yeah. So, her and Morris Chestnut get back together. And then, this is when he goes into crazy territory where he's pretty much just leaving notes on her car, hiding under her bed, filming her have sex, put cameras in there, took her cat and shit. I don't know what was the purpose of that. I mean, and then putting up flyers and shit. It's just like, really, police officers? It's like, you having a hard time catching this guy? I mean, he seems to be in the neighborhood, you know?
Yeah.
Why don't you do a stakeout on his place? How about that? That's never stopped police before.
Exactly.
And then next, you know it. The movie just wraps. I guess the movie wraps up with, you know, the cop pretty much telling her to get a gun or whatever, and then they try this bullshit ass third act where she's like preparing herself and shit like this. Like, okay, get the fuck up out of here with this shit. The hunter has become the hunted now.
Yep.
Yeah. So that kind of bullshit. So Cody,
this one.
This movie was lame as shit.
It was fucking terrible, actually.
It was fucking boring. It dragged. Oh man, I was just like, this movie started at 12:10. Why is it 1:50 right now?
Yeah.
It kept going, and you know what? The sad part about this is, the most excitement I got of this is whenever they just had Michael Ealy on screen doing some crazy look and something like that. And they had that brother, man, they fucked that brother up in this movie. I mean, they put makeup around that brother's eyes to where he looked like a goddamn Whitney Houston crack addict or something like that. I mean, this dude looked like he done smoked his kneecaps off, especially in that interrogation scene where he was just staring at the officer.
Yeah.
And he just had this look in his face. I was just like, okay, Sony, I know you're trying to make him crazy and shit, but you don't need to fucking go that overdramatic and shit like that. I mean, he can still be cool and crazy at the same time, but somehow they thinking like, oh, if we amp it up, you know, we give these black audience what they want. You know, they're going to love this shit right here and stuff like that. I was embarrassed for Michael Ealy.
This is basically, like you said, this is basically a Tyler Perry movie, man.
Yeah, is Tyler Perry's Temptation meet no good deed?
Yeah, there is absolutely no subtlety in this fucking movie.
Oh! Editing-wise was terrible. Like, scenes was just like it was just like shot after shot. Like, yeah. one moment they could be like, I don't know, at the mom's house. Next morning, it's a game or something like that. You got Cicely Tyson black ass here and up here, crying, talking about her husband. And then, you know, the scenes just come out of nowhere. And like, the camera just cuts off and go to the next scene. They did some Michael Bay shit where it's dark. And it looks like the night just started, and the next thing you know, this camera cuts off, and it's morning, and Shanae at work, and shit like that.
Yeah.
This dude, Michael Ealy, has a history. How was she able to locate him at all these companies? How? We find out that Michael Ealy is some kind of security tech expert or something like that.
Yeah, motherfucker's Batman, like you were saying.
Yeah. I said, Cody, goddamn, man, I know you want to be Batman. Oh, when they had that nigga sweating, that shit was hilarious, man. It's funny because he starts off as Cody, and then slowly he becomes P1. Just like you would laugh your ass off if you just saw the traits of P1 and Cody in this movie or whatever. Just slowly, just turn from.
It really was.
Just turn from turn to turn, and it's fucking hilarious because, like you said, he's got a fucking the Batcave in Dark Knight. That he had that little underground facility.
Yeah.
That was Michael Ealy's place.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's a hard. I looked at Cody and said, "Damn, I know you love Batman and all, but fuck, man, I think you're taking this a little too extreme." Cody ain't allowed.
Don't you question my fandom,
goddamn. Cody ain't allowed. I told him you ain't allowed to see the next Batman films, man. I don't need you getting no idea. This nigga. This shit was hilarious when he was cutting that photo and he was just sweating for no reason. I was like, what in the hell's wrong with him? he was typing on the computer and he was just like, all they showed was his eyes and his forehead, and you could see the sweat in his forehead. He was just like, I was like, either he's jacking off to this girl or he is in such a trance. And then, like, how would she know that he was on dinner dates and shit like that? She was following him around and shit. And don't believe anything he say, girlfriend. That's when she, Sanaa Lathan became black chick and whatever and shit. Get out of here, girl. You best run or whatever. So I was just like, oh, God, they stooped you to this level, too. I was like, oh, God. I think the most decent one in here was Morris Chestnut.
Yeah, pretty much.
And that's because he wasn't no screen on. So, basically, Sony is trying to tell you that it's easy to get away from more murder in this film.
Yeah, that's it.
Michael Ealy fucking kills Morris Chestnut, shushes him to death. I love it because the tire breaks. I love it because the tire breaks off. This car just flips out, goes on crazy and shit like that. Cody, you ever had a flat tire?
Yes, I have, actually.
When your tire comes off, have you ever, like, spinned out of control like that or anything like that?
Nope. It was just really hard getting down the street, but that was about it.
Yeah, yeah. This car, I love it because every time a tire goes out, it's always by a hill. It's almost like a goddamn movie cliche now. It's tire flow. I love it because you could hear the bolts flying off. Even he notices it, and the tire falls up, but yet he's still driving at full speed.
Yep.
And the car flips over, and then next you know it, Morris Chestnut, he's crawling out of the window a little bit. Then Michael Ealy just pops up behind him. Does the famous shh line right there, whatever, and then just, like, puts his hand over. Now, put one hand over his mouth. Dude just, he dies in, like, a matter of a second. That's like, damn. I was like, all right, well, I didn't know one hand could kill someone like that, but, you know. Then he takes his watch, wipes the blood off of it, apparently, leaves it back at Sanaa Lathan's house. I was just like, y'all don't have witness protection at this girl's house or something?
You would think.
I mean, you would think, like, because the officer keeps telling her, we're going to catch this bastard. I want to help you, but I'm doing it within the law. It's just like, then why don't you stake out at her house then?
Yeah.
She's telling you someone's probably breaking in the house, or so why don't you put an undercover cop in staking out her house? And then talk about Sanaa Lathan. This nigga obviously knows she drives this Cadillac because he's stalking her. She not even trying to hide this shit when she's chasing him. This dude straight up passed her. She don't even duck down. She doesn't do anything. Like, it literally just passes her, and the car is just, like, sticking out at the edge. You could see it when he was backing out of his driveway and shit. And it was like, wow, he didn't even notice that? Okay, that nigga must have been high or something like that, or he must have had too much of that dark makeup in his eyes or whatever. I thought this movie was a fucking joke. And the saddest thing about it, too, is fucking boring.
Oh, man, it's so fucking boring.
So fucking boring. Cody, what was your expectations watching?
Oh, this is pretty much what I expected. I expected it to be a tad bit more entertaining, though.
Had it been shorter, maybe. I thought it was getting to the point, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like, because, you know, when shit kicks off, it looks like it was already going to that gear of, like, oh, we're getting into that third act. But it kept going on longer. Like, the part where he was under the bed, mm-hmm. I think is the part where either Morris Chestnut should have left the house and he should have came out and tried to kill her then, and that should have been the wrap-up of it. Or another scene happened, then it should have been the wrap-up. But somewhere in between that lines is where it should have been trying to wrap up instead of going on to this whole... Let's switch the roles now here where Sanaa Lathan will follow him and shit. I was like, no, we don't need to see. That's the thing about black movies. And I hate to even use that term because what the fuck does that even mean? But about these kind of crappy-ass black movies is in order to make the woman empowering, they always have to have that role reversal shit.
Every time, dude. I've seen it so many times before. It always reminds me, remember that Jennifer Lopez movie, Enough?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Exactly what the shit reminded me of.
Oh, God. Damn, I'm trying to forget that movie. Fuck, man, I ain't heard that movie in so long. Jesus, man. But yeah, the movie I thought was going to be entertaining because just the Michael Ealy shit. That shit had me rolling like a motherfucker. I mean, the looks on this dude's face, they had this guy just hamming it up to 100 degrees and shit like that. And I love it because... They got it's damn near people. It's a montage scene after she breaks up with him and he's just popping up. That shot where he's just standing out of her door. I don't know if me and you were the only ones in the theater and people wanted to tell us to shut the fuck up, but I was in tears of laughter. I mean, there was this little shit like that that just had me laughing because, like, she's coming out the door getting ready for work, and he's just standing out there in front of the door, I mean, the house and shit, with his car, and he's like, Leia, I love you. He's pulling that I love you shit, like, out of nowhere, too, just like, I love you because on that drive home, I love you, Leia. Don't touch me, please, whatever, but I love you. Even he tried to get her bag for it. I don't need you to get my bag for me. I was just like, damn, bitch, ain't you a little overreacting now? That shot where he was just, and then he just started like walking in the middle of the street, like looking at her and shit. The look he had in his eye when he does that like crooked smile and shit, where he laughs on the left side and shit, that like Cody does. It made him look even creepier. It made him look even creepier.
No, but my favorite thing, remember the sequence where the neighbor ran into him. Like a chaser across to her house.
That motherfucker teleported.
Banging on her door, the front door,
and somehow
teleport within her house within like 10 seconds.
But I love it because you can still see a shadow outside.
I got an evil twin somewhere.
That was you. That was your stunt double. And the funny part about that too is that like she had her back up against a wall.
Exactly.
There was no door right where she was standing, but somehow this Negro managed to magically appear, be right behind her and strangle. This shit was hilarious because the fact that she had a key to the house.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, is a nosy-ass neighbor, too. And like, but what I was trying to think was, like, what made her come in, though? It was just like, because, like, she didn't... If she saw him come in, wouldn't you think she called the cops instead?
Yeah.
And I love it because Michael Lee's just like, he's sweating and shit as he's trying to put this camera in here. And then next you know it, he's just like, oh, me and Leia got back together. Can't you tell? And then he pulls his knife out with these white gloves he got on and shit, and he just starts scratching it against the door and shit. And I'm just like, how come nobody else saw them scratches against the door in the movie or whatever? Like,
good question.
Like, did anybody investigate this? Like, I love it because they said they checked the house, but yet nobody saw, like, marks or nothing. Like, she didn't even notice or anything like that. And he slowly chases her out. Right, look, where was Sanaa Lathan at this time? Because we're assuming that this is in the middle of the fucking night.
Yeah.
We don't know where she's at because every time she was with Morris Chestnut, he was there. And at this point, she had already got fired from her job. Well, we don't know if she got fired, but Michael Ealy sent out through her computer pretty much her fucking Morris Chestnut. And that shit, when he was under the bed, had me laughing. I don't know if crazy tendency is the sweat, but when he was sweating under that bed and he was just had this look in his face of disdain... Because it was funny because they had her moan echoing through the house because they tried to make it seem like he was in the closet. Which, by the way, the music in here is fucking terrible.
Oh, my God. I forgot the damn score.
The fucking music is just terrible. Like, I love it because Morris Chestnut, he's just like goddamn Gator from Jungle Fever. Where's the money at? And he looking everywhere but her fucking wallet at. This nigga says, I gotta go get my phone, whatever. This nigga looking in closets. I see him looking in drawers. And then the first thing he does is go to the living room and sitting on the counter right there. I was like, nigga, don't you think that'd been the first place? Why the fuck did you open that closet up? And when as soon as he opened that closet up and he walked away, they tried to linger the shot on the closet and play that music. That crappy ass Michael Ealy music kicked in. He's just like, we know that nigga ain't in the closet. Come on now. He ain't this damn stupid and shit. Why the fuck would they even like try to do some shit like that? And then like next you know it, they're in the bedroom and all you hear is Sanaa Lathan moaning and shit. And you and like the camera's like a heartbeat kind of. It's like moving and thumping. And because you're thinking Michael Ealy's just gonna come out the shadows. And then next you know it, you just see him under the bed listening and shit. Oh, and the shit when he left the handprint on the shower door had me fucking rolling.
That was the greatest.
That shit had me rolling on the fuck. Morris Chestnut did some Batman shit too. How this nigga get in the shower?
Batman ain't fucking shit.
That's motherfucker. He did that. What's that dude's name from the campaign that kept popping up on Will Ferrell and him and shit like that?
Dylan McDermott.
Yeah, he did some Dylan McDermott shit or whatever and stuff. I was like, where did this nigga come from? Like, to the fact that he could just sneak into a shower that just got started and it's already that steamy. I love how the shower was when Michael Ealy snuck back in the house. Though, it was already steamy with the door open, though. It's like a shower wouldn't be that damn steamy unless you had that motherfucker running for 2 hours or something like that. And with the door open and shit, come on now. It's like that shit would have been flowing around all over the place. And then Mike Ealy just leaves the handprint and runs under the bed and shit and hides there. Oh, it was so beautiful. It was a beautiful shot. Yeah, but the music in here is fucking terrible. They play like this cutesy ass lullaby fucking music every time that they're in love and together and they're driving and just shit. And then next you know when he turns crazy, there's this crappy ass like thriller horror style music in here. It was just fucking terrible. I thought the movie was just shot bad too, by the way.
It was shot bad, it was edited horribly, got terrible fucking music.
Like technical wise, this movie fucking sucks. Yeah, it is really shows that they didn't give a fuck about it. I mean, and you know, it wasn't something about these movies. I was explaining this to some people that don't fucking get it because they're a typical black audience go see this fucking type of films. Is that wasn't something about these movies? Is that I made the explanation telling these black people that you'll never see a legendary director go up to because they said that oh that Michael Ealy is all his movies are good and shit like that, right? And I said, if he's so fucking good, how come you never hear someone like a Martin Scorsese or a Steven Spielberg or something like that asking for Michael Ealy to be in their films and shit like that? And I said, the reason why is because he does shit like this, which are bottom of the barrel straight to BET flicks. Nobody in Hollywood takes these movies serious. The filmmakers that make them don't even take these serious or whatever and shit. Matter of fact, these might as well be startup films and shit like that. So there's no way in hell that you're going to catch a fucking Michael Scorsese looking at something like this and going, Steven Spielberg looking at this going like, I want that guy in my film, whatever, because the only fucking audience that is watching this shit is those people that watch fucking BET and these other black bullshit-ass movies and stuff like that. And they went the typical route of saying, oh, P-Mon, you just an industry guy. You don't like these. You don't like black movies. I was like, whoa, first of all, I don't like the term black movies and shit. That's the problem with black people is we're trying to segregate ourselves in movies and shit and whatever. That's why we can't get these other fucking roles and shit. Movies is just movies. It don't matter what color you are in the fucking movie or anything like that. But if I have to stand up for it, no, I don't like these fucking movies. These movies are fucking bullshit to black people because you hardly see any other race doing movies like this.
Right.
And what the sad part about it is there's a couple of black movies that I absolutely love. There's that one with, we did on Throwback Tuesday, Night Catches Us with Anthony Mackie, 12 Years a Slave, Selma, shit like that. No other fucking black people be in those goddamn theaters. But you see this shit right here, and I'm almost guaranteed that this movie is going to be somewhere in the top five that made a decent amount of money. Because I told this chick, I said, you are not a general audience going. She was just like, well, you don't know that, though. I said, did you see Avengers this year? She said, no, why would I go see that? I said, did you see Jurassic World this year? No, I'm not into that kind of stuff. It's just like, but you texted me about this bullshit-ass movie. You see what I'm getting at here now, Cody? It's like you didn't see any of the other movies that made $1 billion that people are thriving to go see, but you texting me about this bullshit. And you call yourself a general audience goer. Fuck out of here, man. It's more insulting that black people defend their right to go see this movie. Hey, if you enjoy it, by all means, but don't sit up here and tell me these movies are fucking good.
Thank you.
She tried to tell me about this Oprah documentary that Michael Ealy was in was good.
What?
He did a Oprah film or some shit like that or whatever. I'm telling you, it's shit. Some preachy shit, whatever. Look, I forgot the name of this shit or whatever. It was some straight to TV shit, too, by the way. People don't know. I told her, I said, Michael Ealy has done 25 films. And out of the 25 films, there's about a total of 4 to 5 films out of that that were probably at least good. Not great, but good. That track record is not good, okay?
Oh, hell no. Fuck no.
Cody, you got any last thing to say about it before we wrap this movie up?
Oh, man, I think we said everything we had to say about this film. It's pretty straightforward.
This movie's a fucking joke. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, it really is.
I think it's an insult to black people, too, if you ask me.
Yeah, it is.
Because I know you motherfuckers are going to go out and see this shit in droves or whatever and shit. I could say even go check this out just for the fun of it, but it's not even fun. I mean, there's...
No, that's what I was expecting. I was expecting full-on campy fun, man. I didn't get that. I got spurts of that, but not all the way through.
Yeah, like the Michael Ealy stuff, even though it happens, they're so, like... What was the point of him doing push-ups, by the way?
There's a lot
of random ass scenes of just shit just happening.
I guess it's supposed to evoke his craziness because he's sweating like a motherfucker. I don't know.
They never show his muscles in the fucking film, so it's like. But it was funny because they show a lot of random ass scenes with Michael Ealy, and like they go fucking nowhere neither. Which, by the way, he takes her to some club that is like guaranteed you're gonna fuck when you come out of that club.
Right.
Like, that club, like, I love because Snia Lathan is classy throughout the whole film and shit like that. And this club he takes her to is some alleyway, backhand, techno nightclub that, like ravers go to and shit like that. And pretty much when you know you can take some chick to go to fuck and shit like that. I know his game, what he was doing here, but you would think she'd looked at him and be like, I'm not going in there. That's right. Not my style. I love it because she's talking about, oh, I love this classy-ass restaurant we keep going to and shit. But I don't mind if this guy I just met takes me to this fucking dive club and fucks me in the bathroom and shit. Man, fuck this chick, dude. She's a fucking bitch, dude. I'm sorry. They trying to make...
she's not a well-written character at all.
Man, they trying to make her like this strong, feminine, black character and shit like that. And I know a lot of black women out there ain't going to see that shit because they don't want to point this shit out. Because they're going to... I'm telling you this right now. I already told all these black people I was talking to that y'all going to like this movie regardless. I mean, I don't have to tell you anything. You're going to like it, okay? You're going to like it. You're going to love it or whatever and shit. You're probably going to fucking own the motherfucker or whatever because this is just who it demographics, who it targeted to. But you can't sit up here and tell me that Snia Lathan was a good character because she was fucking terrible.
No. If I didn't even need to see a good character.
Her morals are all fucking backwards here. She breaks up with a great guy that she's been with 2 years and probably could have went even further than that, which it seemed like it was on the right track of doing, too. I mean, they never want to show intensity. And then 2 months later, she meets a guy, and on the fucking second date... She allows him to take him to some fucking underground rave club where you can tell there's been some fucking up in there.
Yep.
And she allows him to take him to a bathroom and fuck him in there. I was like, wow. That once again, it's top praise temptation where she found all the women clothes and stuff like that around Robbie Jones' house. But the next scene, she's fucking him, and it's just like, you said you established yourself as a smart character. Now you've already thrown that down the drain that you didn't care. So it's like, why should I feel for you when he comes looking for you or something like that or obsessed with you or something like that when he's already showed tendencies that he's not a good guy?
No.
So, fuck you. I hope you do die now. Cody, final thoughts, though.
Yeah, man. This movie was not good at all, actually. I mean, the actors in here, they did what they could with the material, but the material wasn't good at all. So, I mean... Michael Ealy, I think he could be an intimidating presence in a film.
When he's not doing push-ups?
Yeah, when he's not doing push-ups.
Or not sweating.
He doesn't have shitty material to work with.
Or not sweating.
Yeah.
That's one thing you can get positive about this. The acting wasn't bad from the three leads.
No, it wasn't bad, man. Like I said, they did the most what they could.
Yeah.
Or did that, yeah. But, Jesus, man. Like I said, man, if you talked about it, like, technical-wise, this is one of the worst movies I've seen this year.
Yeah.
Easily.
This probably would have been in my top 5 of the worst of the summer had this come out in the summer.
Man. Oh, my goodness. The editing was some of the fucking worst, man. My God. At least I edited this shit while they were drunk.
Maybe they were editing through the eyes of Michael Ealy and wanted to show you how crazy he was.
Yeah, okay. Is that what they were trying to...
No, I'm fucking with you. They didn't do that shit because the camera was never on. That shit, especially in that middle half, that shit was all over the place.
Yeah,
that middle half, they said fuck editing.
Yeah. Golly, that editing shit. Like you said, the music score.
Oh, and the ending. We didn't even talk about that. That ending was terrible, too. She gets a shotgun, people. She shoots them, and then she walked into a police station. And hands a guy and said, "I'm making a report a break in," and Michael Ealy dies or something like that. And then they try to play this crappy ass music, and she's trying to look all tough and shit. And he's just like, "Oh, okay, all right, whatever." I hate this movie.
Yeah, it's some typical shit, man. It's predictable as fuck. It is schlocky. It is campy, man. It's like, there's no reason to watch this shit. None. Like I said, man, I wish it had that whole campy thriller tone throughout the entire film. Like, at least it'll be intentionally funny. It'll be rewatchable at least, but no, doesn't have any of that.
If you edit that out of the movie, you probably can get 10 minutes of that on a YouTube clip.
Yeah, that's about it, man. That's about it. There's really nothing here worth your fucking time. So yeah, it's getting a fucking...
Really?
I'm sorry.
Cody? Oh, well, that goes to show you Cody's not biased. He gave his own movie a fucking... That was an important question I was going to ask him. How do you differentiate between reviewing your movie and, you know, being in it, you know, starring in it? But I guess I didn't really stop you. So he's like, I got my check. I don't give a fuck. Yeah, technical-wise, this is a terrible fucking movie. I'm trying to think of a movie that was technically bad like this year. I mean, I think we talked about editing that much that was shot up this bad. The middle half, they really did just say fuck it. I mean, what was... The opening looked like it could have been at least somewhat tame and decent and not going in the route of Tyler Perry attempting with getting crazy. But they played that crappy-ass music or whatever, that little... This really was some lullaby shit. And you're just like, all right, well, that's the first part. But like I said, the acting on here, like the material they had, I thought it was just okay. But the movie took a whole nother level once, like, the gas station scene and shit like that. And... they really just took Michael Ealy's character and made him do a 180 backflip out of fucking nowhere. And he's just like, where the fuck did that come from? Like, that's another thing with these movies that, like, these cheap-ass black straight-to-BET films or whatever and shit, is that they always make the black male character, he just has, like, this certain twist in his head that comes out of nowhere. The whole movie, this dude is a gentleman, he's nice. I mean, even, because I ain't gonna lie, Snyder Latham would have snuck in, I was at her parents' house, she snuck in my house, I'd have fucked that girl right there, whatever. I'd have took her to her parents' house and fucked her on top of her mama's or whatever and shit. But,
what the fuck?
Oh man, come on now, you saw how good Snyder Latham was in this film, shit. I would have ran that shower and I would have fucked her in her dad's chair, shit, alright? I would have took that girl, I would have broke her off some shit, okay? I would have tore that girl up, whatever. I would have had her screaming. Daddy, and daddy would have came in there to try to help her or whatever, and I would have told him to close that door. She ain't talking about you, daddy. She's talking about this daddy right here. That girl was fine as shit in this film. I gotta say, probably the finest black woman in a film I've seen this year, actually.
She might be the finest one I've seen this year, period.
Man, she was just looking sexy, like, through a mud. I was like, I have never stared at that. I always thought the girl was gorgeous, whatever shit, but I have never stared at her with, like, the attention is just like, I like you, and I want you.
Apparently, she's 43 years old, dude.
She's 43, too?
Yep.
God damn. And she played a 35-year-old in this film, whatever.
Yep.
I said you could have played a 30-year-old, if you asked me. I mean, you was looking damn good, whatever. I mean, some of Puffy's money must have got to you or something like that while you was fucking him for that long streak or something. Like, I don't know. But, no, it was just annoying to see this dude who had no tendencies, no kind of build-up. That's another problem with you. They have no kind of tension build-up to show you that, like, oh, he has a pass and shit like that. And then when the middle act kicks in, he turns crazy, does a 180. Next one, he gets crazier. And then I love it because this is so fucking cliche, too. She goes to the police station. They dig up his background, and they find out more info on him. But it was nothing crazy on him. Or at the same time, it's just like, oh, he changed his name legally, and he was moving from foster care to foster care or whatever. And it's just like, okay. So are you trying to just tell me he was just crazy because he just didn't have a family or something like that or whatever? I mean, all right, that makes no fucking sense how a guy this successful and looked like he was on his own business, if I'm not mistaken, right, Cody?
Yeah, it looked like it.
I mean, it looked like he was doing all the deals and working on it and shit like that. I mean, this dude was successful. I love it because another thing about these movies, too, there's another critique I got to give this. I know that we trying to move in this diversity term where black people are just like white people in these movies and shit like that. But it gets to a point where in these type of movies where they give niggas jobs you never even heard of and shit. Because every time a nigga in here described their job title, I was like, what the fuck is that supposed to? I had never heard of no shit like this before. And like... I know black people, or any race for that matter, can get any job they want, but I can tell you this right now. Ain't no Negro ever heard of this fucking job title to the pack or whatever. Oh, shit. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. They looking for you.
Uh-oh.
Hey, looking for you, Cody.
Because I'm not in the vicinity.
You supposed to be 50 feet away from me, Cody. Don't you forget that, nigga. Shit. Hey, new Skype, you can't even do that. Got that restraining order on your ass. But I can't remember what he said, but when he said his job title, I looked at you and was just like, what the fuck does that do? Why you just couldn't just say, I'm an IT guy. I'm a technician. I'm a guy, whatever, shit like that. This dude straight up said some long-ass job title or whatever. And they do that shit in every black film because it's like, oh, we got to make them successful business people and shit and have big houses and their life just got to be perfect. But their only means of conflict is their relationship. And their relationship is what's gonna make or break them. It's just like, get the fuck out of here with these
fuck that shit.
With these fucking first world problems and shit like that.
Oh my
God. Yeah, man, it's like, oh, you serious, dude. Come on now. Like, I ain't saying you gotta put black people in poverty in all these movies and shit like that, but I think personally I would prefer some shit like that compared to, oh, my life is so perfect. I got a beautiful home that you never seen in LA before. I have a job you never even heard of. I drive the best cars. I sip the finest wines. I eat at the best spots. But my only problems in life is I can't find a man to give me a child. Fuck you, movie.
Yeah.
Fuck you down the gray. Yeah, this movie gets a fuck it just on the merit of being boring, but it gets a fuck it just being insulting to cinema, if you ask me. I think these type of films are just insulting to cinema. There's no fucking excuse for these films.
I agree with you.
So, Cody, can you do me a favor?
What's up, my man?
Can you... A killer. Ah. Tune in this week, people, to this week's movie spoilers while I sing off of that song, that beat.
There you go.
The Cody intro here.
You know it never hurt me, right?
Do I?
Hey, open the door!
You don't know what's in store.
I think I jump into things sometimes.
How about we start over?
I can't believe he's here.
He's out there. He's watching me.
That email went out this morning from your account.
My account? Can't you see I've been set up?
You think you got a second shot? She doesn't want anything to do with you.
Probably remembering the sex right now.
Hey,